And we are here in our sixth message of the book of Romans, and we're going to be looking at verse 17 today. And Romans 1:17, the Bible says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And that song that we just sang, I love that song, and I asked, it's not in our hymnal, and I asked Pastor Nate, I said, "Pastor Nate, I want this song for the service." And as musical as Pastor Nate is, he'd never heard that song before. So, and we sang it like most of you have never heard it before, but living by faith. That's what we need to do. We need to live by faith. We need to thank the Lord for that. So the text that is before us today, Romans 1:17, altered the course of human history. Any historian will agree that the 17th verse of Romans 1 had as profound an effect on our history as the Magna Carta did in England, and as our Declaration of Independence did in America. This was the verse that Martin Luther read and pored over as a 24-year-of-age student. He was in the tower of the convent library in Erfurt, Germany, and he read it from a Bible that was previously chained shut. The phrase, "the just shall live by faith," changed Luther and it changed the world. This was the verse that brought Luther to faith in Christ. This was the verse that brought the church and the world out of the dark ages and ushered in the Protestant Reformation led by Martin Luther. Not only did it transform and bring Luther out of the bondage of the Roman Catholic Church, but it also, again, transformed the world. The life-transforming power of the gospel that brings salvation is available to all through faith. Salvation from sin's bondage, salvation from fear, salvation from superstition. The just shall live by faith. And if you are a student of world history, you will know through the dark ages there was so much superstition. And this verse that is before us literally changed the course of world history. Last week, when we looked at verse 16, we saw the divine power that is resident in the gospel that can bring about salvation. We saw that it is literally the divine power, the power of the Godhead, and all the power that God has is resident in the gospel. And we saw that that gospel brings salvation. That gospel is powerful and can change a life. We saw that this gospel, though, must be believed, or I am to exercise faith in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection for my sin. I'm to believe that he died for me as my substitute, that he died and rose again in my place for my sin. Salvation is found in Christ alone, as we'll see today as well, by faith alone. But if I know Christ as my Savior, I ask a question. How should I then live? And this verse tells us I'm to live by faith. If you're following along in your outline on the back or on the overhead, the first point, we're just going to dissect the verse. For therein is. This verse takes us back. This phrase takes us back to verse 16. For therein. Therein what? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, so in that gospel, in the power of that gospel, of which Paul, we saw in verse 16, he's not ashamed. That gospel which brings salvation to those who believe, for therein is the righteousness of God. Point number two, the righteousness of God. Righteousness. Righteousness, friends, is the character or quality of being right or just. Now, John MacArthur says in his commentary on this verse, righteousness is a major theme of the book of Romans. It appears over 30 times in one form or another. Righteousness, here's a definition of righteousness. Righteousness is the state or condition of perfectly conforming to God's perfect law and holy character. Other terms for the same Greek word also occur some 30 times and are usually translated justified or justification. So righteousness and just and justification, the same word. Even in this verse, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The word righteousness and just, same Greek root word. Friends, only God is inherently righteous. Only God is righteous. Turn with me to to Psalm 145. Psalm 145. In verse 17. David tells us in Psalm 145, verse 17, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. So God is inherently righteous. One of God's attributes is his righteousness. And so we learn from the gospel, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. God's righteousness is in the gospel. Now, humans fall far short of God's divine standard. For we know Romans 3:23, the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You know, a lot of times if you talk to someone about their soul, if you talk to someone about salvation, and you get around in the conversation, you know, how is one saved? And they talk about being good. Well, you know, if I'm good, I'll be saved. If I'm good, God will allow me in heaven. And you know, so you say, well, what is good? Define to me good. Well, I'm not as bad as Hitler. You notice we always take somebody really bad to compare ourselves to. No, I'm not as bad as. But friends, the comparison for us is God and his righteousness. For we have all fallen short of the glory of God. When God is the standard, we all fall short. Doesn't matter who. Doesn't matter how nice, how sweet, how many strawberry rhubarb pies nice Mrs. Jones makes for the pastor. It doesn't matter. God is the standard. And we humans fall so far short. But friends, God demands righteousness. God demands righteousness. He demands us to be righteous. So this is our great problem as mankind. Look at Isaiah 64, verse 6. Most of you may be familiar with this verse toward the end of the book of Isaiah, in chapter 64, in verse 6, the Bible says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." What is Isaiah telling us here? We're all unclean. And all our righteousnesses, everything that we may think is good, is a filthy rag. It's an unclean thing in the sight of God. The best that unsaved man can do in the sight of God is produce unclean rags. We do all fade as a leaf. I believe that this takes us back all the way to Genesis chapter 3, where Adam and Eve sewed fig leaves together to cover their sin and to cover their nakedness. And what would have eventually happened to those leaves? They would have faded, they would have dried up, and the wind would have blown away. So man, at his best, is unclean. So this is our problem. For God is inherently righteous, and man cannot meet up to that standard, and God demands that we be righteous. For therein is the righteousness of God, the next word, revealed. It's revealed. Have hope, friends. For the righteousness that God desires, God, and the righteousness that God requires, God provides. Within the gospel is an imputed righteousness. That's a big word, imputed. It's a term that's used financially, and it has to do with putting something in our account that is not inherently ours. So God gives to the gospel believer his righteousness. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. How does he provide this righteousness? Through the gospel. Through the powerful gospel. And the word revealed there literally means to take the cover off, to make it manifest, to reveal it. In the gospel, God has revealed to us his righteousness. The righteousness of God. Turn ahead two books in your Bible, Romans and then 1 Corinthians, but turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we talked about this imputed righteousness. And remember what we've learned so far. God is inherently righteous. God demands righteousness. I am not righteous. I have a problem. But God has revealed something in the gospel. He's revealed his righteousness. And look what he did in 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him, who's the him? Jesus Christ. He hath made Jesus to be sin for us who knew no sin. So not only is Christ's righteousness imputed to me, but my sin was imputed to Christ. What was not inherently mine, this righteousness, which is given to me, which was not inherently Christ's, my sin was given to him. He took my sin. He took your sin. And in exchange, I received his righteousness. How can a holy and righteous God ever forgive sinners and still be holy? The answer is the gospel. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Man's way of righteousness is his good works. And we've already seen that his good works fall far short, and just like the wind blows it away. It blows it away. It's filthy rags. On my best day, and there's not many of them, on my best day, all I can produce is filthy rags. Man's way of righteousness is good works, but God, this is not God's way. God's way of righteousness is faith in the gospel. The great design of the epistle of Romans, of the book of Romans, is to show that man cannot and will not be justified by works. He needs God's imputed righteousness. And friends, if you're here today without Christ, and you think that you are getting to heaven by your good works, on the authority of God's word, I'm telling you, you will be severely disappointed, because you have no good works. Especially when those works are compared to God. You might work better than me, but I'm not the standard. And if you want to be judged by your works, at the end of time, at the great white throne of judgment, God will open the books, and he will judge you by your works. But those works will send you to an eternity in hell. God's word, not Dan's word. You need righteousness to be forgiven. You need righteousness to have eternal life. You have no righteousness. But don't fear, for God has provided it. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. The first word there, from. This word means origin. It's the point whence motion or actions proceed. So it's the starting point. From faith. Faith here means conviction. It means reliance. It means I, from faith to faith, if I have faith in God, I am relying on his word. I've never seen God. I've never seen Christ. I've never seen heaven. I've never seen hell. But I have faith in God's word that these things are true, and I'm trusting God. Faith. From faith to faith. This word to, it indicates the point reached, or the place, or a place of time and purpose. It's the finishing point. From faith, the starting point. To faith, the finishing point. I believe that this verse is talking from salvational faith to glorificational faith. From the time that I start my relationship with Christ, when I trusted him as my Savior, I placed my faith in Christ. From that point, until I reach him in heaven. From faith to faith. And what's in between is our sanctificational faith. The Christian is to live their whole entire life by faith. I enter in at salvation and I have a deepening faith. I should have a deepening faith as we go on. Look at Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Verse 6. Friends, this is not a question to raise your hand and answer, but I want to ask you a question. How many of you want to please God? I hope all of you say, I want to please God. Here's how you please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So if that's in the negative, what's the positive? With faith, it's possible to please God. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. From faith to faith, there's an entering in. And my whole life, friends, my whole entire life as a believer is to be lived by faith. It's not a blind faith. It's a faith in His Word. It's a faith in doing what He says, what He commands us to do. It's faith knowing that I have no righteousness of myself. But the good news is what God demands, He provides. Now, if God demanded righteousness but didn't provide it, we'd all be in a mess. But He demands it, and thank God He provides it in the gospel. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written. Here's the authority of the Word of God. Now, this is a quote from the Old Testament book Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. And this verse, Habakkuk 2:4, is quoted four times in the Bible. The just shall live by faith. Habakkuk, Romans, Galatians, and Hebrews. Now, I think if God tells us something once, of course, it's important. But if God tells us something four times, what do you think He wants us to know? The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. The just. This is the same Greek word as the Greek word for righteousness. So, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just or the righteous shall live by faith. So if I have trusted Christ as my Savior, if I come to the point in my life where I realize that I have a big problem, God demands righteousness, but I don't have any. And if I accept the gospel, Christ's death, burial, and resurrection for me, God gives me the righteousness that He demands and I lack. How? By faith. Not by works. Not by coming to church. Coming here and sitting in this church does not make you a Christian any more than living in a garage makes you a car. We have to place our faith and trust in Christ. We have no good works. Good works follow, because now we're righteous, so God can accept those works. But prior to my believing the gospel, the best thing I could do is produce dirty, rotten, filthy rags. And God doesn't accept that. The just shall live by faith. The righteous, those justified by faith in the gospel, shall live. Friends, can I say that this the just shall live, those two little words, shall live, that speaks to us of the abundant Christian life. Do you really want to live? Do you want to enjoy life to its fullest? Do you want to experience God's richest blessing upon your life? Accept Him as your Savior, and God will open up to you an abundant life. I'm not talking health and wealth here, but I am talking that God will give to you abundantly because you are now His child. He is now your master who provides for you. The just shall live. Look at Philippians, please, chapter 3. Very powerful verse. Philippians 3. We studied the book of Philippians when we had our church-wide retreat. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Paul, prior to verse 8, is recounting his life before Christ. And many people would look at Paul from a worldly perspective and say, wow, now that guy had it made. He had it together. And Paul says, yea, doubtless, verse 8, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Excellency, the surpassing greatness, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Everything that Paul did prior to Christ, he threw on the rubbish heap, because he knew it was all filthy rags. And where do you take the garbage? To the rubbish heap. Rubbish heap. And he threw it all away. He counted it all but loss. Why? Verse 9. I want to be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. Okay? I don't want my own righteousness. Because what is our own righteousness? Isaiah 64, 6, filthy rags. But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. I don't want my own righteousness. That's good for the trash heap. I want the righteousness of God. How do I have that on my life? By faith. That I may know him. This is a personal acquaintance. We don't want to just know God in our head. We want to know him personally. We want to experience him. That I may know him and the power, same word, chapter 1, verse 16 of Romans, we looked at last week. The power, the dunamis, the divine power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And again, verse 11 is not an expression of doubt, but of humility. It shows the earnestness of the struggle of faith in Paul's life and the urgent need of self-watchfulness. Friends, you and I have no righteousness. And God requires righteousness. So how do I receive that righteousness? It's in the gospel. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And here that word faith carries the idea of conviction, of reliance. I'm going to live my life relying on God. Because he's my master, I'm his slave. He's my father, I'm his son. And he will provide for me. I need to live by faith every day, every step along the way, and every circumstance that comes. No matter what, I'm to have faith in God and his word. Friends, people outside these doors and some people inside these doors are afraid. And they're living by fear. The Bible says the child of God is to live by faith. Now, that doesn't mean we throw all caution to the side, and I'm not talking about that. But how can I fear? Jesus is near. Live by faith. If you're justified, if you have been made righteous by God, we have to live by faith. Look at Luke 17 in closing. Matthew, Mark, Luke, third gospel. Luke 17, verse 5. Friends, I want you to know that I pray this prayer almost every day of my life. Lord, increase our faith, but I make it personal. Lord, increase my faith. The apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Have you experienced the life-changing power of the gospel? Do you know, is your faith in Christ alone for your salvation? Or do you wrongly think that someday, when I stand before God, I'm going to let him know how good I am? Have you been made righteous? Or have you been justified by Christ? If you know Christ as your Savior, are you moving forward in your faith? Is your faith increasing? Are you living in the flesh? Are you living in fear? Or are you living by faith? Now, living by faith does not mean there's nothing to fear out there. There's a lot of things to fear out there. But what does it mean? I'm not going to let that fear govern my life. I'm going to live by faith and let God control my life. Fear cripples. The flesh produces nothing. The Spirit brings life. Are you living by faith? Friends, if you're here today without Jesus Christ, on the authority of this word, on these two verses, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Salvation is offered to everyone. It doesn't matter how bad you are. You say, I'm too bad to save. Well, that's a lie, because God already saved the chiefest of sinners, and that was Paul. He already saved the worst of us. He can save you. He can save me. He can save you. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. For therein, in that gospel, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And from this point on, through chapter 3, Paul is going to explain to us the sinfulness of man and his need. And he will prove without a shadow of a doubt that man is not righteous. So have you been made righteous? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Or if you have, amen. Are you living by faith? But if you haven't, the Bible says, from faith, the starting point. May today be that day where you start your journey of faith with God. From faith to faith. Now, none of us here have reached the destination yet. We're somewhere in between. We need faith. We need to live by faith. How's your faith? Every head bowed, please. Every eye closed.